This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Welcome to Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. This week, WILK's Sue Henry speaks with area historian Larry Cook about his relationship with Jimmy and Rosalind Carter. WILK's Bob Cordero speaks with reporter Bill O'Boyle from the Wilkes-Barre Times-Leader about his article on Quilts of Valor. I'll be speaking with Charlie Weiss from TransUnion about the consumer credit market. And it'll feature an encore of my interview with Kathy O'Donnell from the O'Donnell Law Offices in Wilkes-Barre about a blankets and broth outreach event coming up Monday, January 20th, Martin Luther King Jr. Day at the Kingston JCC in conjunction with the NAACP Luzerne County Branch number 2306. Special Edition gets started right now.
And it really is my pleasure to welcome Larry Cook to WILK. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Sue. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I mean, who better to talk about President Carter in northeastern Pennsylvania than you? I can't think of anybody who is more qualified on the level of a historian and also as somebody who's shared a very deep friendship with President Carter and Mrs. Carter. So thank you for agreeing to do this.
Sure. Thank you.
And let's get into it. First of all, by talking about your life, obviously, I told the audience that you know a lot about many of the presidents, but for some reason, you've honed in on Jimmy Carter. Tell me about why. When you were younger, did he fascinate you? How did you get interested in his story?
Well, as I always say, you never know where life is going to lead you, and this is one of those stories. I was interested in presidents ever since I was a little kid. My grandmother got me my first piece of presidential memorabilia, and my parents were always supportive of what I liked, and they would get me campaign buttons and that type of thing. And it's really ironic because having interest in all of the presidents, and then when I got old enough to really, really start to look at them and see them on TV, was about the time when Carter was running for president. And he stood out to me because the other presidents just seemed to be, I don't know, not as much like my family. But when I started to see the Carters during that campaign for 1976, I realized they were a lot like me, even though they were from the South. I was from Central New York, but his mother reminded me of my grandmother, the one that I mentioned that got me my first piece of memorabilia. His brother Billy reminded me of my my uncle who drove a pickup truck and liked his beer and they were farmers and I had farmers in my family, and I remember thinking back then when I was like 14 years old, I thought, wow, they're really like us. Little did I know that all those years later, I would become, close friends. Diane and I would become close friends with President and Mrs. Carter. As I mentioned, it's one of those you never know where life is going to lead you. And how that happened is that I'm a presidential memorabilia collector. I'd stayed interested, in collecting. But the one thing that was missing over 20 years ago was that I had never met a president. And so my wife Diane had. In 2004, she surprised me with a trip to Plains, Georgia, because she heard if you went there, you could go to church, hear a Sunday school lesson, be taught by President Carter, and if you were fortunate, you get your picture taken. So she surprised me with that trip. We went there. We did meet the Carters, got our picture taken. I was thrilled. And I wrote him a letter. We also fell in love with Plains, Georgia. It's a remarkable little town. I wrote him a letter telling him that how much we appreciated his town, how there was no litter there, how everybody was friendly. And lo and behold, about 3 days, 4 days later, he hand wrote me a letter back inviting us to come back. And so we did. We went back, and then we went back again. And then he found out that I was a presidential memorabilia expert. And he called on Diane and I for our advice on how to sell some memorabilia to raise money for historic renovation in Plains, Georgia. So in planning that first program is when we really became good friends, because we had to meet several times in planning that first program. And then it just went from there, from him visiting us several times here in northeastern Pennsylvania, from him staying at our home overnight here in Dallas, us doing, just about everything, every event in Plains with them, from a Thanksgiving dinner to my presentations that they would attend. And it's just been a wonderful friendship with so many memories.
In terms of the presidential memorabilia and, of course, helping him to raise money using his own, what did he talk about with you regarding presidents? So did he talk about which ones he admired the most, maybe some funny stories about them? What did he say about being in that very exclusive club?
Yeah, he did. I've got a couple of stories, actually, if you have time for them.
Sure.
But one story that one time we were getting together with him, I can't remember exactly what year that was, but he had just beat Herbert Hoover's record of being the longest in retirement of any U.S. president. And the first thing he said to me that day when we were having lunch is, with his big famous smile, was, I just beat Herbert Hoover's record for being in retirement the longest. And so he loved history. They both did, he and Rosalind. They loved history. And he loved seeing our collection here. He's seen it many times. And the one day when we were in my office here, he noticed a signed picture that I have of President Ford. And he stopped and looked at that picture for a few seconds. And he said to me, I really miss him. We were great friends. And then he told me a story of that one day he got a call from President Ford, and President Ford said, Jimmy, I need to ask you a favor. And President Carter said, sure, Jerry, anything. And he said, well, would you give the eulogy at my funeral? And President Carter said that he was kind of taken aback a little bit by that. And then he said, I finally came up with the answer. And he said, yes, Jerry, I promise I'll give the eulogy at your funeral if you'll promise to give the eulogy at mine. and so it was great. He talked to me a lot about Harry Truman. Harry Truman was his favorite president of his lifetime. So for years, Diane and I would give him a piece of Harry Truman memorabilia for his birthday, whether it be a campaign button from our collection, a signed letter, whatever. We would give him something every year for his birthday that had to do with Harry Truman, and he always appreciated that.
Well, that story about Gerald Ford, Larry, is such a good one to hear. I mean, these guys ran against each other, and to think that they had a friendship and good things to say about each other. I mean, I think we lose sight of that, and we think that everybody is a rival, that there is no crossing party lines, that there is no fraternity. I mean, that's a really cool lesson. What was his eulogy on Gerald Ford like?
Well, it was very, very touching eulogy. I don't remember it word for word. I have heard it, but, he spoke from the heart like he always did with anything. It was clear when he gave that eulogy that their friendship was genuine. It wasn't something for the cameras. It wasn't something that people would have to wonder if they had a true friendship. They had a really strong friendship.
We forget about Jimmy Carter's background sometimes, about his work with the nuclear industry. I played a little piece of audio from the speech at the Wyoming Monument before you came on, where he talked about developing stealth technology and, working with the Soviet Union to try to stave off any kind of nuclear calamity. I think sometimes we forget about how smart he was and how dedicated he was to that concept of a peace through strength.
Yeah, he was. I mean, peace was always first and foremost in his mind, you know, all through his presidency. And of course, with all the work that he did at the Carter Center, he and Rosalynn did, you know, because I remind people that when he left the White House, as he would like to say, involuntarily retired from the White House. But he was a young man then. He was, I think, 53 years old. So they decided to not go out on the speaking tours and look at making millions of dollars in speaking fees. They wanted to do something that would help the world. And so they decided to develop the Carter Center. And that's just a tremendous thing for the world. You know, when we would be together at events, he would like to tell the audience when he and I would speak together that the only reason we became friends is that I was so eager to meet a president, and he just happened to be the most convenient one. And and then I would chime in with, well, President Carter, I got to admit that is true, but you and Rosalynn have made yourself convenient to the entire world, and they really did. Through their development with the Carter Center, and getting back to your point about him being an expert with nuclear physics and being so smart on that. One thing that a lot of people don't know about him was, well, he was in the Navy, and he had that additional training that most people didn't have. He was called upon to lead a delegation of Navy men to help the Canadian government, and one of their facilities was about to have a meltdown. And he put that delegation together, led that delegation to go over to Canada to be lowered into the nuclear reactor and to stop that meltdown. So he's really a hero in Canada. Canada knows that story much better than we do here in America. But they were each lowered down in there and had a precise job to do, could only be in there for a few seconds, and they knew their job and did it. And he took a doses of radiation from that, you know, far beyond what would be considered safe. So that's a story that a lot of people don't know.
And still live to be 100.
And still live to be 100.
That in itself is absolutely remarkable. Oh, you developed your friendship with the Carters around a concept which was Plains, Pennsylvania, Plains, Georgia, and making the connection between those two cities. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, when we were asked to meet with him and Rosalynn to give them advice on selling these items to raise money, he invited us to a dinner there. He had some Canadian officials there at that dinner as well, and he invited us to that dinner just talk specifically with us about that. And so we told him, of course, we had an estate liquidation business, so we knew something about that. And then with my knowledge of the memorabilia, so we were telling him and Rosalynn, you know, what they should do and what they should have in place and what an auction meant and what online bidding was and et cetera. And so we went back to our room that night. We stayed in Plains, Georgia at the historic inn, and we went back there, and it just dawned on me, you know, it just came into my head. And I said to Diane, let's take on the project for them. It would be an honor to do that. And let's call it Plains Helping Plains. At the time we lived in Plains, Pennsylvania. We live in Dallas now, but at the time we lived there. And I said, I think it would be really, a really cool thing to do. And it would be an honor to do that for them. And so we discussed that with a couple of people in Plains that were close to the Carters, and they loved the idea. And before I know it, I was getting a phone call from President Carter's secretary wondering what we had to do, you know, what they could do, what we would do next to start this project rolling.
And indeed you did. He came here, you went there. We played some audio of the Wyoming Monument event that he did in 2013 in that blinding rainstorm, which he joked about that it was good farm weather. And he had such a great way of just telling stories. He seemed like a gregarious guy. How did you get him to agree to do that event?
That's that's also a good story. We were having lunch with him one day. Diane and I were married at the Wyoming Monument in 2003. And as far as I know, it was the only wedding to ever be held there. That's what the Monument Association told us when we got married there anyway. And so we had gotten married there in 2003. And so it was, of course, a special place to us for two reasons, for us being married there and also for it being a historic site that's important to this area. And so I told President Carter several times about the Wyoming Monument because he loved history. And so one day we were having lunch there and I said to Diane, you know, I'm going to ask him if he would come and speak there. And so we were, the four of us were sitting there for lunch and I asked him, and I had some literature on the Wyoming Monument to give him to tell him more about it. And he said, well, that sounds interesting. He said, let me consider it. And Rosalind chimed in and she said, oh no, Jimmy, we're going. That sounds like fun. We're doing it. And he said, well, he would say, Rosa, you tell her, Rosa, he said, well, Rosa, I have a schedule I have to check. She goes, well, I know you do, but we're going to go. It sounds fun. And they want us to go. The cooks want us to go and we're going to do it. And so he put his hand on my arm and he said, it looks like we're coming to the Wyoming Monument. And he said, let's, you'll be hearing from me and we'll set it up. So we did that and it was, gotta get a drink. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll cover for you. And so you did that and it was a wonderful event for Wyoming Valley and it had a huge turnout, Larry. And it was a great event to hear him speak about you. Of course, he spoke about in the very beginning and about the Carter Center and he was the number one latrine builder in the world. We may laugh about, but that has saved countless lives of individuals with something very simple.
Yeah, he loved that. That was a really nice speech that he gave there. And I don't know if you remember him getting down off the...
Yeah, I bet you were on... you've been doing news hits all day, Larry, so I appreciate the fact that...
But he got down to move the barriers to let people in out of the rain. That was a good memory from that.
Yeah. And what will you take away the most? I mean, you have this longstanding friendship. What would you take away the most or tell people about the real Jimmy and Mrs. Carter?
Well, they were who you saw. They were genuine. They cared about everybody that they came in contact with. At the same time, caring about all the projects that they were doing all over the world. it was what you saw. You had the chance to meet them briefly and you saw that they enjoyed meeting people. They enjoyed interacting with people. They enjoyed learning about people. They were genuinely interested in what everybody that they came in contact with did, and they would make you feel like you were the only person, you know, in their mind at the time when they were talking to you. And their humanitarian efforts have just saved millions of lives all over the world, and it influenced millions more. Two things I truly believe, both as a friend and a historian, is that they will both go down as some of the greatest humanitarians in world history. And also, I believe that he will be the best remembered U.S. president around the world. Because I think a lot of our other presidents, you could mention them in other countries, especially some of the smaller nations that they tended to through the Carter Center. And, you know, some of our other presidents, you may, maybe a few people would know who that is if you mention the name. But I think with Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter, if you mention their name in most countries, big and small countries, they're going to know who Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter are, because they were hands-on with all these projects that they did in all these countries. They didn't just coordinate the project. They went there and participated in it. So people remembered that. So I really believe those two things.
Yeah, in a very selfless manner, as you mentioned. Obviously, he could have made millions of dollars on the lecture circuit. That wasn't him. His post-presidency, those, what, about four-plus decades. He was a true servant, Larry, and I really admire that about him. And I'm so glad you took the time to be with us today. I know you've talked yourself silly. I get that. But in the future, I'd like to have you on more to talk about some presidential history with us, if you have the time.
I would love to. I would love to. And I just wanted to say one more thing, that right now I think he has a very special place in heaven. And it's not because he was president of the United States or a Nobel Peace Prize winner or any of that. It's because he was Jimmy Carter.
Larry,
I really believe that.
Larry Cook, thank you so much. And thank you to your wife, Diane, for sharing your time with us and for her allowing you to tell stories about her. Thanks so much.
Coming up next on Special Edition, WILK's Bob Cordaro speaks with reporter Bill O'Boyle from the Wilkes-Barre Times-Leader about his article on Quilts of Valor. And I'll be speaking with Charlie Weiss from TransUnion about the consumer credit market. It's all coming up when Special Edition continues.
Bill O'Boyle, Wilkes-Barre Times-Leader, welcome back to the Bob Cordaro Show.
Yeah, it's been a little while, but
far too long. And you've been writing a lot of great stuff. I'm putting the onus on you that anytime you want to publicize an article, you let me know.
Yeah, well, you know, I appreciate that, Bob, and I'll be more diligent on
we
that.
We love you. We
going
love
forward,
you.
You know, but yeah, the Quilts of Valor. I got involved because people I know, Fran Moriarty, one of them, her husband Hank, who has passed away, was an umpire way back in the day. One of the great umpires in Wyoming Valley and Luzerne County. And when I was involved with Teeners baseball, I always used Hank for games, and especially big games, because he was a great guy. And when Fred got involved with Rebecca Berminski, or Orlowski, I'm sorry, with the Quilts of Valor, she called me and said, can you give us some publicity? And once you find out what these people do, take yeah. their own time, their money, they volunteer, and they stitch and make these quilts and give them to veterans that they identify and have them over for a little social and present them the quilts. And it's with such sincerity and such respect that you got to publicize this, and you got to tell people what these people are doing to show that they are thankful for what the veterans, all veterans, have done to preserve our freedoms. And these guys appreciate it, and women, and they all appreciate it very much, and they are very much honored to be given these quilts. And any time Fran calls me or sends me an email, I just drop what I'm doing, put it right in the system, and make sure we get it in the paper, because we should let people know that these veterans are out there, and this group recognizes them, and we should all be very thankful of everything that all veterans have done for us.
And by the way, great article, and you picture both Curtis Bennett and James Santawan. Am I pronouncing that right?
I think so, yeah.
A soldier and a Marine, respectively, who both received their quilts. Their pictures are there in the paper, and they're different quilts too.
Yep.
I mean, it's just that quilt. It just represents love for me when I see it surrounding these veterans, and you know a lot of love went into that work.
Yeah, they're all unique, and all these veterans, as you know, especially from World War II, we're losing them every day, and then, you know, all the other wars. I mean, these guys are getting up in age, and, you know, they protected us, and maybe in some way, these quilts can protect them a little bit when it's a little chilly or whatever.
Yeah.
And they can wrap themselves in the love that these people put into making these quilts. And it's really a great organization. It really is.
Bill, did you get to talk? We're talking with Bill O'Boyle of the Wilkes-Barre Times-Leader, who wrote an article on Northeastern Pennsylvania Quilts of Valor and the two local veterans that were honored, both Curtis Bennett, U.S. Army, and James Santawan, U.S. Marine Corps. Did you get a chance to talk to the veterans at all?
Not this time. I have gone and covered others when they present them. I try to get to them if I can, because it's just so neat to be around them. And the fellow that I think we wrote about most recently was James Harris of Dallas. I think he was presenting the quote of valor, and the backstory on that was that he wanted to make sure he got his quote in time, because I think it was his mom or dad was not feeling well, and he got the quote, and not long after that his loved one passed away, and but he was so proud of it, he wanted them to be there to see that he got this quote of valor
for his
service. You know, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that these people deal with every day, and it's so the veterans appreciate it so much. It's just great to be around them.
Yeah. And you know what, Bill O'Boyle, the thing I love about it, too, is that these servicemen, whether they be Marines or Air Force or Army, they're all still with us. I mean, most of the people I pay tribute to have passed away, and obviously are more than deserving of their moment of recognition. But these guys are still with us when Quilts of Valor honors them.
Yes, and Fran always, when she calls me, she says, "I'm going to send you something. You can edit it down." I said, "Look, Fran, whatever you send me about these veterans and what they've done and where they've served and what kind of service they've seen, we're going to put it in there, because you know, we have, those who of us who have not served have no idea what these men and women went through."
That's right.
Especially in times of war. So whatever we can put out there to let people know what these people did for their country and did for us and what they went through, we're going to put it in there. And so you don't be afraid to send me whatever you have, because I'm going to use it, because we want people to know who these men and women are, who these veterans are.
So, and it's easy to find them. It's NEPAQOV, Quilts of Valor, NEPAQOV @gmail.com. Or you go to Northeast PA Quilts of Valor on Facebook. And and you could let them know, hey, I'd like to help. I'd like to do a quilt. I'd like to offer a veteran for consideration for a quilt. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can really, something you can sink in for everybody.
And I love looking at the pictures, because the pictures of these guys, you can see them, and you can see the pride on their faces, and you can see that each of them, in some way, has gone through a lot to get through whatever they went through, and now they are getting these quilts, and they're thrilled. And you know what? Like you always say, whenever you see a veteran, thank them for their service.
Yeah,
and, you know, you can never thank them enough. I mean, they've done so much for this country. So, you know, it's great that this organization, which hasn't been around locally that long, it's a part of a national organization, but in the short time that they've been around, they've honored so many veterans, and they continue to do it. And they gather, and they sit, and they commiserate, and they make their quilts, and then when they identify the veterans, they arrange it and have a ceremony and a little social. You know, a good friend of mine, and you know him well, Bobby Baird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a veteran. He's been a recipient, and he was so thrilled, you know, that he was given this quote. You know, and I remember him calling when it was in the paper to thank me. I said, "Don't ever thank me for that." I said, "Thank you for everything you've done."
And by the way, Bill, not an insubstantial amount of work to make these quilts. They're huge.
Yeah, they're beautiful, and they all have. They're all unique, and as every veteran is, but they're all common in one thing, and that is service to their country, pride in their country, and just proud to have had the chance to serve and protect us. And that speaks volumes. It should speak volumes to everybody.
One of our great listeners, FHL, who provides a lot of information for the program, provided me with this, so I was able to take a look at the article and get in touch with you. Bill O'Boyle from the Wilkes-Barre Times-Leader, thank you very much. Say hello to everybody down there. And again, don't be a stranger. We love you.
Well, do, sir, and thank you for allowing me to come on and talk about this great program. And to all you and your listeners, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Bill O'Boyle, Wilkes-Barre Times Leader, about the Quilts of Valor article he wrote that appears in the Times Leader.
This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guest is Charlie Weiss, Senior Vice President and Head of Global Research for TransUnion, talking about the consumer credit market. Good morning, Charlie. How are you?
I'm terrific. How are you, Brian?
Very good. It's a consuming business time of year. Into the Christmas season. Is this a sign that consumers are more confident moving forward, or is it just something they just normally do this time of the year, no matter what the economy is like?
If you look at the consumer credit market, what they're spending, particularly on credit cards, it's interesting. It's almost like a heartbeat. Every year you look in the fourth quarter and there's this big uptick in credit card balances, and then it comes down in the first quarter. Consumers are always spending this time of year. And I think that's just reflective of, well, you know, the kids need toys and I got to put a nice dinner on the table and all that good stuff. But it also speaks to the fact that we do have a confident consumer these days. We have a consumer that is feeling pretty good about their financial situation, about their employment prospects, and a confident consumer will continue to spend. And that's exactly what we're seeing.
Kind of like a sugar high for the fourth quarter, and that it kind of cools off once you get into the new year.
We have to hope it cools off. But yes, that's what the consumer keeps doing, is they take their, their tax refund checks, or maybe if they get a little bonus from work, and they use that to pay down their credit. But I think, again, that just speaks to the fact that consumers feel confident they're going to have those financial prospects that they can spend and expect to pay it down in a reasonable amount of time.
Now, how is the consumer credit market different than it was during the height of COVID? We're not just spending money on masks and disinfectant and toilet paper as much.
It's shifted for sure. And I think there's a lot that we saw from the height of the pandemic, which was driven by the inflation that we saw between 2021 and about 2023, where things all of a sudden got so much more expensive. Everything from groceries to gas to dining out to rent, childcare, you name it. And consumers really spent a lot of time trying to manage through a very uncertain period where the costs seemed to be spiraling out of control. They didn't feel as though their incomes were keeping up, and they didn't know, in some cases, how they were going to make ends meet. And what we're seeing now is what we're terming this emerging stability, where prices are still high, but the inflation rate, the rate of growth, is slowing down closer to that 2% target that the Fed has been shooting for. And consumers are feeling a bit more stable. Things are getting a bit more predictable. And when consumers don't feel as though the world changes every day, they can start to adapt to these new conditions. And I think that's what we're seeing with the consumer now, is they've adapted to the higher price world that we live in, and they're figuring it out. They're making it work.
Now, how are consumers feeling about their credit card balance? Are they a little concerned that they're spending too much money on credit? What do you think the situation is, and how are they going to feel as we move into a new administration come January?
So nobody likes carrying credit card debt. It's just one of those things that I won't call it like death and taxes, but it's not inevitable, but it certainly is one of those things that we just have to put up with in life. But I think for a lot of consumers that use their credit cards, not just as a, I go to a store, I make a purchase, I get the rewards and I pay it off at the end of the month. You know, there are consumers that do need to rely on their credit cards. And, it's been more difficult. We've seen average balances on credit cards increased dramatically since 2021. It's now on average up over $6,400 per consumer. And the price of that debt has become much more expensive. As the Federal Reserve has raised interest rates, the credit card interest rate has also increased, and now consumers are paying 24, 25% in many cases for their credit cards. That doesn't feel good.
No, it can't.
It doesn't. But at the same time, what we're seeing now, and TransUnion has just completed a forecast of what we expect to see over the next year, is that these double-digit increases in credit card debt that we saw in 2022, 2023 have started to stabilize. And we're now seeing much more moderate growth in the 3-4% range over the next year as this period of like emerging stability is starting to help consumers essentially plan out how they're going to make things work. Because the upside of what we've seen over the last few years, yes, prices are higher, and that doesn't feel good. But many, many consumers also see material income gains over the same period of time. So they may not feel richer, but they have more money coming in each month that they can use to offset that, and they're figuring out how to make things work.
Now, as we speak, the Federal Reserve will be in the process of lowering the interest rate, probably a quarter of a point, and they have signaled that next year there might not be a lowering every single meeting, maybe every other meeting. Do you think that's going to have an impact on consumer spending in 2025?
I don't know how much consumers are counting on interest rate decreases to impact their spending. I mean, you know, you think about it, yes, these lower rates are going to help a little bit in making credit card debt more affordable, but I don't think consumers were looking to see a big rate, you know, rate drop as helping them out. I mean, whether you're paying 24 or 22% on your credit card interest, it's still by far the most expensive debt that most Americans are carrying. And so I think that doesn't necessarily impact into your spending calculus. What it impacts is other types of debt. And there's a lot of consumers that would love to buy a new vehicle, would love to buy a home. Those things are absolutely impacted by interest rates. And in fact, a lot of consumers that have bought homes in the past 3 years are waiting very anxiously for rates to come down. They can refinance those 7-8% mortgages into a more affordable mortgage rate and significantly lower their payments. So that's where I think the interest rate cuts are going to be much more impactful, is for consumers that want to buy or refinance their, you know, buy a home or refinance their mortgage or buy a new vehicle. Those lower rates are really going to help those consumers out.
What would be your best advice to consumers as far as hedging against inflation and improving their credit picture?
So, to the extent possible, and it's a pithy statement, but, you know, getting your credit card balances under control, meaning, you know, lower is better, and making sure that your monthly payments are in line with what you can afford each month is important. And there's ways that consumers can do that, not just like, well, just pay it down, of course, with all that extra money you have. It's not that simple. But if you think about a credit card with a 24% interest rate, many consumers can refinance that with a personal loan that may have a rate more like 14-15%. And that has a fixed payment schedule so that you know in 3, 4, 5 years that you've paid that down to zero. You keep making the minimum payments on your credit cards, and it's going to be a long, long time before you ever see any relief in that that credit card balance. So refinancing, think about a personal loan, or if you own a home and have some equity in it, as many consumers do, even think about a home equity line of credit or home equity loan, much more affordable. And it gives you that ability to start making meaningful reductions in your overall debt picture and kind of get your balance sheet back under control. And if you don't know what is your financial picture, there's lots and lots of tools that you can use to understand your whole debt picture. TransUnion makes your credit report free every month. Go to transunion.com to see that. Or you can use services like Credit Karma, free service where you can go and essentially get a whole view of your picture. And there's lots of great tips and tricks in terms of how to manage your credit, how to get your interest rate down, how to improve your credit so that you can qualify for a more affordable loan going forward.
You must be a mind reader, Charlie. That's exactly what I was going to ask you, where consumers can find out more information about their credit situation and how to improve it.
Yes, and the more you know, the more you can do about it. I think the worst thing that consumers can do is to essentially be paralyzed because, well, I just don't know how much I owe, but I'll never be able to get out of that. Know what you have and make a plan, and even small improvements over time really start to add up. You know, get your credit card balance down, and you're going to all of a sudden see some relief. You're going to see your credit score improve, and you're going to see your options improve in terms of being able to get other types of credit that really may help you out in the future.
Information is power. Charlie Wise, Senior Vice President, Head of Global Research for TransUnion. Appreciate you joining us here on Special Edition, and happy holidays to you.
Thanks to you as well, Brian.
Next up on Special Edition, I'll feature an encore of my interview with Kathy O'Donnell from the O'Donnell Law Offices in Wilkes-Barre about a Blankets and Broth Outreach event coming up Monday, January 20th, Martin Luther King Jr. Day at the Kingston Jewish Community Center. That's in conjunction with the NAACP Luzerne County Branch 2306. It's all coming up when Special Edition continues. This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guest is Kathy O'Donnell from the O'Donnell Law Offices, here to talk about a big event coming up in 2025, Blankets and Broth, in connection with the Friedman Jewish Community Center in Kingston, as well as the NAACP Luzerne Branch, number 2306. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm terrific. Tell us about this big event, Blankets and Broth.
Okay, well, it is the second annual. Last year was our first year, and it's really just such a wonderful opportunity for service on Martin Luther King Day. As you know, Martin Luther King Day, when it was designated as a national holiday, was designated as a day of service. And so this project is a half day. It's from 8:30 to 11:30 at the Friedman JCC in Kingston. They are hosting us for free, no charge with regard to all of the beautiful banquet center that they have there and all of the tables and chairs that they have available to us, as well as coupled with the Luzerne NAACP. And we are so grateful for both of their efforts. O'Donnell Law Offices is also a sponsor. We purchased all of these fringe blanket quilt kits. And it's really easy. It is not a problem. And our goal is to make 100 blankets that will then be used at three different organizations, mostly for the unhoused of our local population, and to keep them warm while all of us have had hopefully a good time putting them together.
That is great. I was going to ask you what your goal was for this year, because last year you had 55 volunteers making 70 fleece blankets for the homeless. So 100, that's a pretty good goal.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. We're hoping to get more volunteers. And we also, the great thing is, we do ask people, if possible, to bring either a can of soup or, frankly, any non-perishable food that then will be contributed to the JCC food pantry. They are feeding on a monthly basis, twice a month. They are feeding about 270 cars of families. So anything that you can bring that is a non-perishable item, when you walk in the door, that's going to go right to the JCC food bank as well. So there are just so many wonderful things that come out of this project. If I could, I'd like to tell you how the project came about.
Please do.
I was fortunate enough to go to Governor Shapiro's inauguration in 2022, and he actually started this the day before the inauguration, which was Martin Luther King Day, in Pittsburgh, Harrisburg, and Philadelphia. He brought together JCC and NAACP's locally there to do just this. And I sat across the table from six other people who I didn't know before, had a pair of scissors in my hands, and never made a fringe blanket in my life. Wasn't sure I even knew exactly what it was, but very little effort, was able to put it together, had great conversations, made six new acquaintances, and we made a lot of blankets in that half a day. So I had the idea, let's bring it here. We have such a valley with a heart here, and it worked so well last year. As I said, that's why we're hoping to expand it this year to serve even more.
And of course, in the middle of January, what greater need for fleece blankets than, you know, January 20th, Martin Luther King Jr. Day?
Absolutely. And we are doing it 8:30 to 11:30. So there'll be plenty of time for people, you know, to get to the TV for the inauguration. And if you can only come for an hour, please, we appreciate it. All hands make, you know, heavy work light. And so as many people as we can get to come for as long as you're able to help, we are grateful.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that. It's Inauguration Day this time around. It lands on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. That's pretty amazing.
Exactly. Yes, we didn't have that last year, but this year we do. And as I say, we really tried to be conscious of that with regard to the time.
This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guest this morning, Kathy O'Donnell from the O'Donnell Law Offices, telling us all about the big Blankets and Broth event, second annual one, is coming up Monday, January 20th. Yes, Inauguration Day and Martin Luther King Day. At the Friedman Jewish Community Center in Kingston, happening from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Now, the donations are going, I guess, Sarah's Table. Is that the name of the Friedman Jewish Community Center?
Sarah's Table is the name of the food pantry at the JCC. Yes, absolutely.
Now, these donations will be going to other places as well. You want to tell me about those?
Sure. They will be going to Ruth's Place. They will be going to the Kirby House, which is one of Dave Yonke and my good partner with regard to this event. It will be going also to the Keystone Mission. So we're hoping, again, to equally divide 100 blankets to those facilities.
Outstanding. Dave is a force of nature. He is the one that actually helped us put this interview together, and I'll be speaking with him not too long from now.
Yeah, we're grateful. We're grateful for all of his efforts. As with anything, this is not certainly a one-person effort. And so all the people from the JCC, Barbara Sugarman especially, has been really, really helpful there. And, you know, Dave has really coordinated and done a great job for us with regard to the NAACP as well. So we are grateful for everyone at the coordination level. And we look forward again to, some friends that we made last year and some new friends as well.
Where can people that are interested in volunteering for this event, where can they find out more information?
Okay, they could come to O'Donnell Law Office's website. And my name again is Kathy O'Donnell. We have a part there that's dedicated to this that you can find out more information for it. The JCC also has it on their website, and the Luzerne County NAACP has it as well. Or you can call us at any of those numbers. But I want to make it as easy as possible. Please just show up at the JCC Kingston branch there, which is right off of 3rd Avenue. And if you can, bring a pair of scissors. If you don't, we will have scissors there. That is the only equipment that there is with regard to these fringe blankets. And there's no sewing. There's nothing that's involved at all. We will guide you through it. But when I say guide you through it, it is truly, I am not a seamstress by any stretch of the imagination, nor a very crafty person. But it is a very easy project. And it really provides nice, warm, pretty blankets for some people who need them at this time.
So you don't need to be an expert seamstress. Just have a heart of generosity, and you folks
That's
will show
right.
them the rest.
And there are seats, so you're not standing. There's no physical labor involved. Literally, if you have the dexterity to use a pair of scissors, that is it. It is scissors and literally tying knots in the fringe. You will be sitting. It is a completely handicap accessible facility. So there is a lot of opportunities for anyone who would like to participate.
I got to attend an event there about 2 years ago, and it is an amazing facility.
It is a beautiful facility for our community and is really one of the nice features that people who've never been there before are able to come and see and come and discover that. But what I love is the bridges that it builds, which I think is another really important part of Martin Luther King Day, is the fact that people who may never get a chance to encounter each other in our beautiful community have a chance to sit across the table. There is also some coffee and refreshments as well. So plenty of breaks in order to really maybe get to know some of our neighbors.
Might need that caffeine, especially in talking the middle of January and 8:30 in the morning. So that definitely
right.
will come in handy.
We are starting bright and early. And the other part of that, too, is, you know, if you have the day off, And if you're not watching the inauguration, you still have the rest of the day to enjoy yourself and run your errands and do whatever you might want to do with your day, but knowing that you've helped a lot of people.
Kathy, anything else you want to tell us about this Blankets and Broth Day?
No, absolutely. Please just feel comfortable. Do not feel, you know, I want you to feel welcome, and I want you to be able to come participate at any level for any length of time that you would. We would greatly appreciate it. And I know that the recipients of these beautiful blankets will appreciate it as well.
No question. Your 100 blankets is the goal this year. Last year, for the first year of it, was 70. So best of luck with the event and for all the volunteers. Once again, it's the Blankets and Broth event. It's happening at the Friedman Jewish Community Center in Kingston on Monday, Martin Luther King Day and Inauguration Day, from 8:30 a.m. till 11:30 a.m. Sponsored by NAACP Luzerne Branch, number 2306, the O'Donnell Law Firm, and the Friedman Jewish Community Center. Thank you so much, Kathy, for sharing this with us, and best of luck with this. Hope you smash your goal for this year. Thanks for joining us here on Special Edition.
Thank you so much, and we appreciate all of your efforts as well. Take care.
You have the right to feel safe in your home. This includes the right under federal fair housing laws to be free from unwanted sexual conduct. I'm United States Attorney David Freed. The Department of Justice wants you to know that if you have been sexually harassed by a landlord or property manager, a loan officer or housing official, a maintenance worker or security guard, you can do something about it. Contact us at 844-380-6178 or email fairhousing@usdoj.gov. You have rights under the Fair Housing Act. Call 844-380-6178. 380-6178 or email fairhousing@usdoj.gov. Everyone has the right to feel safe at home.
Thank you for joining us this week on Special Edition. Special Edition is a weekly public affairs presentation of Odyssey Wilkes-Barre. I'm Brian Hughes. Thanks again for listening.